NYPD Blue Balls Season 1 Episode 15.
Y'alls.
We're not rapping, Kyle. We're introducing the show. Steroid Roy, episode 15 of season 1.
So much cum, I'm Niagara Falls.
Oh, Jesus Christ, this is how this episode's starting. It opens up with Andy not having
Andy
a cool...
Sandberg?
Jesus Christ. Are we doing the show or not? Are we doing it or not?
We're doing it.
Are we doing the show or not?
We're doing it. So what is Andy doing?
Sipowicz tells Costas that his apartment is not fit for visitors.
Yes, he is being a dildo.
And you find out, you find out pretty quick that he's making excuses.
Again, like, he's been making excuses for a long time.
Uh-huh, and they're getting even more ridiculous where it's like, oh, the linoleum and the water
and
issues.
She's not having it.
She's done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, after they have, like, a little mini fight about it, because Costas is basically saying, like, hey, like, if you don't let me over soon, eventually I'm just going to be done with this, because if it's not a relationship that's moving, it's not a relationship. And a crazy woman comes in looking for Roberts.
Yes, and she has a pretty amazing dog.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet dog. And that's actually what I wrote, too. She has an awesome dog, and she's crazy. Yeah.
She's looking for Robert. She's screaming like crazy. And
she mentions Robert.
Kelly recognizes who she is, though.
She is an informant.
And Kelly kind of calms her down. And you come to learn that her dog is sick, and she's been looking for Mike.
To get money from Mike.
Yeah.
To possibly help her dog, or possibly get drugs. Because it looks like she's a druggie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then things take a really interesting turn when she basically threatens Roberts that she was going to call his wife.
No, she did.
But I don't think she actually dialed the numbers. I think she just picked up the phone.
No, I think she dialed the numbers because, from the way he reacted to her,
mm-hmm.
I assume that she actually had dialed and talked. Because she said Connie,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as she said that, he, like, physically assaulted her and grabbed the back of her head. And, like, what I really enjoyed about that was all of the guys in there were, like, pissed off at him. They kind of reacted like, hey, what are you doing grabbing her like that? Like,
well, yeah, because he goes a little too buck wild on this chick.
But, which kind of shocks me because so far on this episode, women aren't held at the highest regard in the show.
No, not at all. Especially from last episode where a woman gets raped and they're like, hey, husband, how do you feel about this?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think she did call because of the way he reacted. And then later on in the episode, you hear, like, she was always threatening to call his wife. And I think even called once. But anyways, yeah.
Basically, that's the opening, and then it cuts to the song and the music, and then Fancy has Mike in his office, which Famous Faces is Michael, was it Leary? Levy? Levy.
Healy? Levy?
Michael, wait, what's his actual name? Wow, I should have had this shit ready.
He's also in Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
He's in True Detective. He's in a lot of things. He's a good character actor. He's in Deadwood.
He's in the office with Fancy, and Fancy's like, was this done by the book, basically? Because...
His name is Michael Harney.
Harney. I always write his fucking name down wrong.
Michael Harney. Anyways, yeah. And Fancy kind of is like, is this by the book, blah, blah, blah. And so then he has to get interviewed by... Oh, no. And then doesn't he go home?
Yeah, they basically sends him home.
Sends him home for the day.
Also happening right now, Roy... From Roy and LaCalce
has flipping the fuck out.
Because he said that he basically found out that his partnership has been switched from LaCalce to another guy.
This is what I meant last episode when I said she's super upfront with him, which
yes.
is good. Like, she never...
Leads him on in any way.
Yeah, never leads him on.
It's never confusing what she is saying to him.
Yeah, and she never is like... Never is flirty with him ever. That's what I meant. Like, she's always up front with him and is like, no means no. steroid guy.
Because he basically, she freaks out, he freaks out and says, like, oh, what, are we not going to be partners? And she's like, no, I don't think you're reliable. And then he kind of loses it, and then he goes,
well, no, doesn't she say, I think you have a problem?
No, she does later. But first he says, like, hey, like, why would you do this? And she's like, I don't think you're reliable, and I don't like you as a cop. And he, like, kind of freaks out, and then he goes, hey, well, I mean, this kind of frees us up to go out then, right? And she,
yeah,
and then,
yeah, he flips out, and then all of a sudden he's like, his rapist part of his brain clicks on, and he's like, oh, I can bone her now.
And she says, let me make this clear. I don't want to have anything to do with you, and I think you have a substance abuse problem.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, substance abuse. And he starts losing his mind, and he goes, yeah, it's that boyfriend Kelly of yours. Because even in the episode, even in the episode before this, he's like, Kelly's been telling you that I fucked up that, Kelly's been spreading rumors that I fucked up that bust. Because he doesn't, he wants to look better in front of the Kelsey than I do.
Yeah, he's super obsessed about it.
He's super paranoid.
He's super paranoid about it, and that's part of the speed and the drugs, I think.
So, they basically separate. And it seems like maybe that'll be the end of it. But it totally isn't. Because later, he has a conversation with Kelly. And
to move the story kind of in the order. So they end up getting a beeper call of a murder, and they go to the scene. And when they get there...
Well, it's not a murder. It's apparent suicide.
Apparent suicide. Apparent suicide. They get there, and they take the bag off the head. And Andy and Kelly go, oh shit, it's Robert's informant.
Mm-hmm. And then immediately...
so they talk to the super, and they come to find out that Mike was there. Mike was there, he left, and then he came back, and then he left again.
It's also clear that it couldn't have been anybody but Mike. Because the guy says, it's a cop. And there's like, oh, it's a cop in uniform. He's like, no, it's a cop like you. He's like, oh, did you get his name? Mike. He's like, well, It's like, okay, well, what did they do? He's like, they had a huge argument, and then 2 hours later, and he came back, and then he left. And he's like, okay. Yeah. So they piece it all together, and then basically Kelly's like, do you want to go get Mike? And someone's like, oh yeah, so we can pretend like he's heard this for the first time.
Yeah, that's like, that made me laugh. That's one of the lines that always makes me laugh, no matter if how many times I watch it, because it's so funny. It's like, because it just fits the scene so well. It was good.
And they bring Roberts in, and they talk to him, and they tell him that she died. And then they basically have to interrogate a guy who knows how to interrogate other people.
Yeah.
And he's freaking out because he knows they're interrogating him. And I think he actually did it. Like,
and I think he's afraid. Here's the thing also. I think he's really nervous because he's going against the, like, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson of their era. Where they're just the best in the game. Right now, they're the best duo, and I think he's afraid of going against them.
And he's not getting drunk Sipwitz. He's getting sharp, like ready
and
to roll.
He's getting a Sipwitz who doesn't respect Roberts whatsoever. He's getting a Sipwitz, and he's getting a boss who
doesn't believe him either.
And then at one point later on in the episode, tells Kelly, this guy gets no leeway, even though he's a cop. Two episodes ago. They're doing everything they can to help a cop who's murdered. This episode, they're like, a guy who's working for them now, they're like, fuck this guy. because everyone knows he's kind of a slime meatball.
A slime meatball. It's a meatball made of slime. No, the thing that made me laugh was... The thing that makes me laugh was... Basically, they have the first interrogation, and they say, hey, look, the super saw you there. And he goes, okay, I may have had some stuff over there, and I went back to get it.
Yeah.
And they're like, what stuff? And he's like, some shirts and shaving shit, which is basically like, hey, I fuck around on my wife. I'll admit to that.
Yeah.
And so they walk by, and they're like, okay, well, let's go get it. And he's like, he gets indignant, like, oh, walking me around the squad room to embarrass me and
shit.
Yeah,
you want to, embarrass me and shit. And that's what makes me think he did it, is
absolutely.
He's making a scene, yeah.
And then Kelly goes to Fancy, and Fancy's like, okay, what do we got? And he's like, well, I don't know. Super says it's that he was there. He's told us that he's admitting that he was there, but not that he knows anything about her death. And he has stuff over there. And then Fancy says, the line he says is, I don't want to give him any rhythm on this. Yeah. Which is basically Fancy going like, I don't care that he works with us.
Yeah, Fancy hates him.
So it's a pretty awesome moment.
I think Fancy looks at Mike Roberts the same way he looked at Sipowicz when Sipowicz was a drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But Fancy obviously has seen the change in Sipowicz, but I think he looks at Mike Roberts as like a man, I just wish he would fuck up huge one time so I could fire him. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know. I don't
think it's different than Andy, because Andy does his job well. He just had demons he had to fight. Mm-hmm. Whereas Mike Roberts is kind of a scumbag and doesn't do a good job. But anyway, so they interrogate him and he basically like storms out pissed off. So then they're in the locker room talking about it. Mm-hmm. And then this is where Roy comes out in a towel, jacked up, porn stash, ready to like get it on, you know?
And he basically says to Kelly, like, hey,
man. He apologizes to Kelly.
Uh-huh. He's kind of a man for, like, 3 seconds.
Well, no, I think he does it very condescendingly. I don't think he's a man at all. I think he's being, like, he's like, yeah, I was a dick, get over it, moving on, help me fuck Glukowski.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kelly's like, that's something you're going to have. Like, he basically is like, hey, can you put in a good word for me? And Kelly's like, that's something you're going to have to do on your own time. Or do on your own. She's like, yeah, but she won't talk to me because she doesn't think we're cool. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. So then he gets all butthurt, and then he starts... Basically, he says that David Crusoe is, like, out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't work out.
And that his pecs will be down by his knees if he doesn't work on them.
And so they're all talking shit, and then Sipowicz is talking shit back to him, and they leave. And then as they leave, he walks out. And says, I have the line written down. He says, hey, Kelly, you want to sit on your butt like cottage cheese? You want to sit on a butt like cottage cheese? Be my guest. Meanwhile, I'll be sitting on this.
Man.
And
then
he smacks his bare ass. And then Detective Sipowicz goes, because Lieutenant Fancy walks in, you got to admit, Lieutenant, that guy's got a hell of a muscular ass. And this is when he's walking with his little white doggy down, too. There's also a beautiful scene where like something crazy is happening in the room, mm-hmm. in like the main area, and Sipowicz is just sitting there with this little white dog, like petting it, and he's just like holding this little white dog petting it while there's this crazy like commotion going on. It was like a pretty funny picture.
I'm trying to remember, just because I can't remember the story at all because it wasn't as interesting. There's a third story going on with a guy named Fuentes, but I didn't write down what happens at all with them.
Oh, this is actually... I actually like this one, now that you reminded me. Kelly's ex-wife comes in and says, like, hey, I need you to rerun interviews
That's
on
right.
this case.
I thought it was next episode. And, it's this one. That's
and
right.
Kelly gives, like, her a hard time.
Because
if Fuentes happens this episode, yeah, this is it. So Kelly gives her a hard time, and she's like... And then he's like, are you asking me or are you telling me? And she's like, I don't want it to be like this, blah, blah, blah. He's kind of being a dick. He was being a dick. He just didn't want to do his job.
He didn't want to... He thought it was an open and shut case. So he's like, yeah. Why would we waste our time re-interviewing because of a hunch you have?
So they go interview this guy to talk about with, like, this woman stabbed. Her husband killed him. The thing that she's worried about is, like, she obviously stabbed and killed this guy, and she automatically pleaded out to manslaughter, and so mm-hmm. she thinks there's something else. And so she just wants a little bit more background on it, or a little bit more follow-up. So they go interview this guy. He's acting super weird. And so Martinez and Medavoy, like, call him in. They talk to him, and they find out that, like, they had, like, an affair,
mm-hmm.
him, and she was, like, talking about killing her husband, and he should kill his wife so they could be together. And then she called them from jail and it's like, oh, I did in my part. Like, when are you going to do yours so we can be together? And so then they find out that, like, she actually killed them, like, mm-hmm. cold-heartedly, basically. Not by self-defense.
Yeah, it was kind of... I'm not saying it was thrown in, but it was, like, essentially 3 scenes. 4 scenes if you include the apology.
Yeah, but it's supposed to... And then Kelly, it's like, oh, you did a good job. Kind of like... He recognizes his mistake, but she's like, why did you have to act like that, you know?
Well, that, yeah, I mean, and I would be the first one to say the public outcry of her, because he basically stands up in the squad and goes, okay, guys, let's re-interview these people that have already been arraigned, because...
Yeah, he does that thing, like, he has no comeback, so he just, like, tries to belittle her through, like, dumb shit, you know?
But when he apologizes to her, it's, like, quietly, just in the break room. Yeah. So it's not really, like, a good enough apology, because it's kept quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
They're going.
So then they go. So then they go home, uh-huh. And they come back, and they're still waiting on the toxicology report
of the woman.
Mm-hmm. But when they come in the next day, that woman that was murdered, her mom's there,
and she has a diary.
A diary, and in that diary, this woman who was murdered wrote down that, like, Mike Roberts beat her.
Got her. Scarred her. Didn't he, like, not... Yeah. He didn't get her drugs, but, like, he's a horrible person.
He gave her other drugs, though. Like, some weird other drugs, I think. Yeah, he was just basically fucking with her. So, they get this info. Mike Roberts sees them talking to her. So, as soon as they walk back upstairs, Mike's like, what were you guys talking about? And they're like, I think we should go into the room. So, they go into the room, and they're talking. And Mike gets really emotional. And he starts letting on a little bit more. And I think this is where he admits to giving her other drugs other than what she wanted.
Well, no, because...
And then he punches a window.
Kelly and Andy go back at him and say, yeah, you have conflicting testimony with the super, because he said you came back twice. And then he's like, yeah, I came back to get my stuff, but she said, like, I'm going to go kill myself, but I never believed it. Mm-hmm. So... He's like, so am I to understand that you tampered with a crime scene after someone's death? So you're admitting to that. Because you remove things. And, like, basically he realizes, like, oh shit, they're setting me up to have to go to court where it looks like I killed this woman. So he just goes full bore into, like, this emotional component, like, oh, I loved her, man. And, like, you don't know what it was like. And basically, like, smashes the window and says, like, I didn't kill her. I had feelings for her and shit, and I think Kelly kind of feels a little bit bad for him. I don't know if he believes him, but Sipowicz is just giving him the, like, Sipowicz stare down. Like,
yeah, Sipowicz, I think from jump thought, like, was like, he killed this girl, like, no matter what. But then the toxicology report comes in, and she had a bunch of drugs in her. No, she didn't, right?
I don't think so.
And there was no signs of struggle.
No.
So I don't know.
Basically, it comes out that he's gonna walk because he has a reason. He has a reason for being there, and they don't have anything other than, like, this diary saying, like, he'll kill me if I ever talk to his wife. And she threatened to talk to his wife in front of a bunch of people, and then he freaked out. But they don't have any concrete proof that he did it.
Yeah.
So Fancy, in one of the coolest Fancy scenes, period, basically brings Mike in, and Mike is like, "Oh, I beat it, so I'm all good." Basically, that's the attitude he has. And Fancy goes, so I read this diary. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty messed up stuff. I mean, but we can't really believe her. And he's like, it made me sick. Like, basically, he's like, I'm not giving you any leeway on this. So then Mike is like, well, you know, I mean, bad things happen. Like, I'll just figure it out. And then he basically goes, no, you're retiring today.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I'm not, I need, like, 3 more years for something, or 2 more years for something. It's like, I don't care.
He's like, you're gonna take.
I don't care what you're gonna lose. He goes, I'm not gonna fire you, and I'm not gonna move you, pass you on to someone else.
So either you do this, or I start passing. I think he's basically like, I'll pass around what's in this book.
Yeah.
So then Mike Roberts comes out, and he goes, yeah, Fancy's icing me. Like, he's trying to relate to these dudes, and, like, clearly. At least Sipowicz, like, maybe Kelly's, like, acting a little bit better.
I think Kelly feels bad for him because his life's falling apart, but I think Kelly also thinks you brought it on yourself, you know? That's what I think.
So, he gives this, like, weird line where he goes, yeah, I gotta go to one of my daughters, like, my middle daughter's ballet recital.
Yeah, I thought this was so weird.
Usually I would just get a page... And then get out of it and then go see this... I forget her name. I should know her name. I just get a page so I can go...
Wasn't it Dee Dee?
Yeah, I think so. So I can go see Dee Dee. Yeah. And then... Which is like, why the fuck would you tell them that?
Yeah, he, like, that's the thing that's so weird about Mike Roberts is he's so comfortable with over information. Like, he's the first TMI. He gives you way more information than you need or want in a in a fucked up situation, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very weird thing to do. I think because he feels, and we find him in later episodes, he feels like, oh no, they're on my side. Like, the other cops...
Well, yeah, I think he thinks that, but no one likes him.
And it's, like, a really, like, fucked up thing, because it's like, no, you have a wife and three kids, or at least two. Well, he has to have at least three, because if there's a middle, then there has to be three. You're a horrible person. And there's no justice for that mom, who was like, she was going to get off the drugs, and I swear she's a good person.
Well, I thought she did a pretty good acting job, especially when she asked, like, oh... do you have kids? And Andy's like, I do. We're not on speaking terms. But she's like, but don't you know if something was wrong, you heard that happened to her and you just know that there was something wrong about it. Mm-hmm. Like something else really happened. And so that, I think, is what won Andy over. Another but then thing. Costas comes over at night.
Yeah, that's right. This is the end of the episode. Well, we got to talk about Roy because Costas is the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
So Roy gets pulled in.
Caruso, fancy, really, and Caruso...
go to the captain of the whole...
go to the captain and say they want this guy tested.
So he comes in and basically has a mini freak out because they're like, hey, go over to health services and get tested for drugs. And he's like, why? Like, he freaks out and goes, like, I'll pass with flying colors. There's no reason. And they said, fine, then just go and do it. And he does, and he comes back, and they're like, hey, so we got a positive. Well, he goes, give me your gun and your shield, which is classic cop terms for, like, get your shit. He goes, why? What's the deal? And he goes, well, you've been tested positive for anabolic steroids. And the guy goes, that's not on the...
that's not illegal.
That's not on the illegal list.
It doesn't warrant me getting fired.
And then he goes, yeah, and methamphetamine.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because he's like, okay, they caught the steroids, but they're not going to get the meth.
Which is so weird because, like, I don't know a lot of meth heads that... work out.
Or methods that have, like, decent enough jobs.
Yeah, but I mean, he does, like, fuck up his job because he's kind of a method.
And he's a fucking dumbass. Like, he pulls some dumb shit. And he also doesn't pick up, cues, like, from women when they tell him no.
But anyways, he gets fired, and then doesn't he confront?
Which is weird, because when you're fired as a cop, don't, like, you immediately leave?
Yeah, don't you get immediately escorted out? You tell us everything that's here and where it is, and if it's yours and not part of the department's, we'll send it to you, leave us an address, but get the fuck out of here. Like, you're not going to stay here.
Because that doesn't happen at the end, but right before the end, where Sipowicz and Costas hang out, Kelly, Sipowicz, and the dog are coming downstairs, and basically, he comes from downstairs, which means he was upstairs.
Well, they told him to go get his second gun.
And
because I guess when you turn in a card, you write how many guns you have,
mm-hmm.
and you have to turn one in, I guess, if you have two for the job. I don't know.
So he comes down and he confronts Kelly, and Kelly basically goes like, hey, man, you did it to yourself. Like, you're acting irrational, and like, it's better if you just leave this alone. And the guy straight up. Because even Sipowicz is like, hey man, you don't want to do this here. Maybe we should do this outside, where it's not the station house.
Yeah, like, Sipowicz and Kelly are actually acting kind of cool, but I think it's because they both know that he's a meth head. Like, he's crazy.
And I think it's because they know if there's a fight that happens in the squad room, there's paperwork.
Yeah.
if there's a fight that happens outside of the squad room, it's, like, none of their business.
Yeah,
so
they can
he's
just
like,
handle it and leave it alone.
So he goes, why don't we go outside and take care of out here? And the guy goes, no, first I'm going to kick his ass, and then I'm going to kick your ass. So he goes after Kelly, and Kelly straight up beats the shit out of him with a couple good hits here and there.
Like, Kelly's like a fucking kung fu master and shit.
Yeah, he's the ginger crouching tiger, and he drops him, and then Sipowicz goes... hey, that was a hell of a fall there. He's like, these floors are slippery. And then the desk sergeant goes, okay, everybody, show's over. And everybody just goes back to what they were doing.
Yeah, there was just an assault in a police station. We're not going to do anything about it.
And it was clearly, like, a moment to go, like, yeah, nobody likes Roy.
Yeah.
Also, if your name's Roy, change it. Like, I've never met any cool Roys.
Change it to Froy.
Just change it to, a not-named Roy. Just don't be Roy.
To a not-named Roy.
Yeah, just don't be Roy. Roy is not a cool name. But the episode ends, Kyle.
Uh-huh.
With it happening. With Costas coming to Sipowicz's home.
Why did he put a jacket on?
There's a lot of questions. Why? Like,
he knows he's going to be nervous and sweating. Why put a jacket on and make yourself hotter?
I love how she comes in and she's like, oh, lovely aquarium. And he goes, new coral.
Yeah.
Like she's going to know enough about fish tanks to be like, is this new coral? He's like, yeah, I got some new coral. No big deal.
He's kind of a nerd when it comes to the fish. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's his Back to the Future. That's his Star Wars. Like, people, yeah. Like, he'll sit there and be like, look, these are tropical saltwater fish.
Well, we'll see in the next episode.
Yep. I mean, that's a little tease.
There's a problem with the fish.
There's a reason the next episode is called A Sudden Fish. But basically, she's walking around, he gets her a soda, they're talking about the dog, he says there's something wrong with the dog's fatigus?
Yeah, fatigus. And she goes, excuse me?
So, then it goes to the bedroom, and Costas straight up gets, like, naked. The lights turn out.
Well, doesn't he say, like, I haven't had sex
sober in 20 years.
Sober?
Or
and
no.
He's like really nervous, and she's basically just like, kiss me. They don't have sex right away.
No. There's some tension.
No, she doesn't take her clothes off.
Yeah, she does. Watch the episode again. She takes off the like coat thing, and it reveals a nightie, and then she takes the nightie off, and then he turns off the light, and then they do that silhouette NYPD blue fucking.
Yeah, that's right, okay.
But the thing that was funny is he's joking the whole time to, like, deal with it, and he basically says, I haven't had sex sober in 20 years. And then he's like, also, if I fail to perform, I'm gonna have to kill you.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't think that'll be a problem, and then they get down and they get busy.
That's gotta be weird, like, at some point in our lives, our dicks aren't gonna function properly, you know?
Yeah, that's a weird thing to possibly close the show on.
That's kind of weird to think about that. A lot of men are gonna go through that. You know,
that their dicks just don't work. That's why we get those pills.
Like boners don't happen like they're supposed to when you get older. You know.
But then we just get those pills, and then they get rock hard for a long period of time.
But we can't give women birth control.
No, Kyle, because you know what? I mean, as a man, I've decided that they don't deserve birth control.
Well, no, they don't deserve choices.
No.
Because when you give them the ability to choose, they're going to want more things.
Yeah, Kyle, we got to keep them suppressed. Just like the poor in the middle class, we got to keep them suppressed. Anyway.
Well, jails are doing that perfectly.
Anything else in this episode you wanted to talk about?
No. No, it's just the growth of the... They're really hammering home the love story between Andy and Costas. It's starting to grow more and more. Oh, I had like a little note that I found that Costas was originally supposed to be a man.
In the show?
But, yeah. Like, she wasn't supposed to be there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The assistant district attorney... Like, the district attorney they wanted to be there, they wanted a man to be there along with the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Of Kelly, ex-wife of Kelly, but because Costas and Sipowicz had such good chemistry off of screen,
mm-hmm.
they kept her on when when Franz asked for his character to have like a love interest.
Mm.
So because off camera they saw how they both got along well with each other and their rapport, so they wrote her in to be a love interest and kept her around when they wanted someone else. So,
that's pretty solid. Yeah, it's a great decision because she's a good part of the show.
And then Bradley Wentworth, I think, I feel like that he's the guy from, it's not Wentworth, but the dude from, he's also in West Wing. I think they wanted him in the show more.
Yeah, he shows
up
more.
As a secondary character, but I think he hit it big on West Wing.
He does show up, I think, once or two more times.
At the end of this season. Uh-huh. But then once this season's over, he's on the West Wing, I think, the next year.
I'm trying to think if there's anything in my notes.
I got nothing else, no. It's a cool episode.
It's a good episode. It's a very good episode. It's one of those episodes where, like, and NYPD Blue does this sometimes, where it starts out and you're like, oh, this is pretty tame. Where, like, oh, it's Sipowicz talking to Costas. And he's like, oh, maybe it might be a funny, lighthearted one. And then out of nowhere, that woman comes in and fucking Roberts, like, grabs her by the hair, and you're like, what the fuck?
And you realize that, and then you realize that you're working with a scumbag.
Yeah, so it's a good episode. Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com. You can head there to listen to it, or iTunes, or Stitcher, NYPD Blue Balls. You can follow us on Twitter at AsherBrosPod. If you have the time, it'd be really cool if you could rate and review the show on iTunes.
Don't have to rate us because I don't need your approval.
Thank you, Kyle. And I'm at Kirk.
You can't live life seeking other people's approval.
Thank you. You're just like all those women that get half naked and tell girls they can be whatever they want to be.
No, I'm not at all. You don't need other people's approval.
Whatever. Point is this. AsherBrothersPodcast.com and...
rate and review us, though.
If you have... Kyle, do you have anything else to say or recommend for the lovely people?
No, not at all.
Not at all? Nothing? All right. Thank you for listening. Later, everybody.